A reading from the book of Isaiah, chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. The Mountain of the Lord. This is what Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as the highest of the mountains. It will be exalted above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. Many peoples will come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, so that we may walk in his paths." The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war any more. Come, descendants of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 24, beginning at verse 36.
Praise and glory to God.
The day and hour unknown. But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill, one will be taken and the other left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. This is the Gospel of Christ. Praise to Christ, the Word.
May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our Lord, our Rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. So I want to take you into the vicarage earlier this week when my son and I had a conversation, because he asked how many rehearsals would there still be before the Sunday Kids Nativity play. Well, I told him that there would probably be two more. One on the Sunday and then on the Saturday before the actual nativity play. He seemed satisfied with that. I then told him that I still had to prepare the sermon for the Sunday before that, for today. It would be about waiting. So I asked him, "Do you know anything about waiting? Have you ever waited for a long time?" "Of course," he replied. "Like when we were waiting 40 minutes for a ride at Disneyland and then it was only 1 minute long." Well, the family remembers that, because on the way back from Switzerland, we had a day in Hong Kong and so went to Disneyland there after we had not gone to any theme park in Europe. Most of the time at a theme park is spent queuing in long lines. Some people reckon that the fun of the ride makes up for that long wait times. Well, different folks have different opinions about that. But this particular ride called Sliding Sleighs was the biggest disappointment of our visit. The queue was enormous, and so we were all glad when we were finally at the front of the queue in the loading area, and we excitedly got onto the roller coaster. Indeed, it accelerated, did a few turns, and 30 seconds later, we were at the beginning again. Just as we really were thinking of getting into the joy of the ride. So we stumbled out of the ride disappointed. To this day, our children remember this disappointment. Well, we went to a few other rides with similar wait times, but the children had so much fun during the rides that they remember the rides rather than the long wait. And I think that's the thing about waiting. It always depends what we are waiting for and what happens after. For example, in the book of Genesis, we have the example of Jacob, who served 7 years at the farm of his father-in-law, Laban, 7 years to marry Rachel. And the text says, but they only seemed like a few days to him because of his love for her. So it always depends what the waiting is for. The season of Advent is also very much a season of waiting. And I think we wait, I want to break it down, we wait for three things. First of all, we wait for Christmas, when we remember God's gift to us in Jesus Christ, the incarnation of God's self in a baby. Second, we remember the waiting of the people of Israel for the Messiah. And third, we focus on the waiting of the church for the fullness of God's kingdom to come and Jesus to return. So I'll touch on all of those. First, I think the tradition of Advent, of preparing our hearts and minds to celebrate the birth of our Savior, that has served the church well over the years. It builds up expectation. It reminds us of our frailty, and it gives us hope in darkness and makes the joy of Christmas more real. Now, I remember hearing about a mother who was unable to wait for Christmas. In the weeks before Christmas, she would buy Christmas presents for her children, but was not able to keep them until Christmas. Rather, she would give them to her children soon after she bought them. And so the children had a somewhat elongated period of gift giving, but Christmas itself was a bit flat, not the culmination of waiting. And I think that our ancestors had some wisdom in having this time of waiting and preparation so that the celebration themselves would be more meaningful. Now to the second point, throughout its history, the people of Israel and Judah built up hope for the coming of God's kingdom. Associated with that was the expectation of the Messiah, God's anointed, who would bring about peace and salvation. Now, sometimes modern interpreters try to differentiate between prophecies in the Old Testament, prophecies that apply to the first coming, and then other prophecies that apply to the second coming. Well, sometimes it's actually quite difficult to differentiate between those. Now, at times it will clearly say that something will happen in the last days, such as our reading from the book of Isaiah. And other passages envisage something earlier than the last days, for example, the servant songs later in the book of Isaiah. But sometimes all these expectations of a future salvation, they all blend into one. Something to look forward to, but without clear timelines or exact descriptions. The hope and the expectation was clear, but the shape less so. Now, relying on the book of Daniel, there was heightened expectation of deliverance and the full return from exile during the time of Jesus. And so it's into this hope and expectation that Jesus stepped. And so during Advent, we remember that waiting, that expectation of the Jewish people. And I think it was well put by a Scottish pastor, Pastor Walter C. Smith, in a hymn. So I'll read that. Earth was waiting, spent and restless, with a mingled hope and fear. Faithful men and women praying, surely, Lord, the day is near. The desire of all the nations, it is time he should appear. Then the Spirit of the Highest to a virgin meek came down, and he burdened her with blessing, and he pained her with renown. for she bore the Lord's anointed, for his cross and for his crown. Earth has groaned and labored for him since the ages first began, for in him was hid the secret which through all the ages ran. Son of Mary, son of David, son of God, and son of man. And so we come to the third aspect of waiting in Advent. Based on the promises of old and the ministry of Jesus here on earth, the church, together with faithful Jews, are waiting in expectation for the full coming of God's kingdom. The description in Isaiah paints a time when people from all nations will come together to worship God, when they will shape their lives by God's word, when there will be no more warfare, but rather peace between all people. That is indeed something to look forward to, something that makes the waiting worth it. Now, the disciples had seen the beginning of God's new kingdom in Jesus, and so moved by the many Old Testament passages, they also looked forward to the time of the full coming of God's kingdom. And that's why they asked Jesus about the end of the age. Well, in all the synoptic gospels, that's Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we can read Jesus' fairly long reply. At least, you know, if you think how long the gospels are, and then you read the full chapter or two of Jesus' reply to that question. And Jesus replied, yes, he would come in glory, but the timing, well, that is something different. There might be signs, but no one knows the day or the hour. It will be like a thief in the night, totally unexpected. Jesus said that that life would proceed quite normally in those days, with everybody going about their business. The suddenness of the coming is also expressed in the phrase that two women will be grinding with a handmill, one will be taken, the other left. Two men will be walking in the fields, one will be taken, the other left. Now, these words have long puzzled interpreters. Some relate them to a concept of the rapture of the church, in which Christians are taken from the sinful earth, while unbelievers are given another chance at repentance. Other interpreters related to the Jesus' example of the flood, and they think that taking here means a judgment, while those who are left, those are left to enter God's kingdom. But it's clear that it's at an unexpected time. Overall, the passage emphasizes the suddenness of the event. Jesus asks those who follow him to wait and to prepare themselves. None of us knows when the final hour will come for us personally or for this world in its current state. But Jesus asks us to be ready and to keep waiting. As Christians throughout the generations have experienced, this waiting can be quite difficult at times, especially, for example, when we are suffering warfare or personal trauma, or when the world around us encourages us to give up on this hope of so many generations. But it's exactly this hope that can carry us through difficult times. It's this waiting that can give us new energy when we may feel the temptation to succumb to what's around us and leave God behind. It's this expectation that can motivate us to continue on the good way. For we are not waiting in frustration, but rather for Jesus. So our time of Advent, when we prepare our hearts to again remember the birth of the Savior, is part of our waiting. It's by looking back to the wonders that God has done in the past, we are also looking forward in faith and hope. Amen.